Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
After Thursday night's Denver win over the Jets 37-28, in which yet another over cashed, 41.5, the number closed. It went over at 65. Over is now 30-19 on the season. VSiN's Josh Applebaum on the plethora of overs to start the year.
Public always wants to bet an over. They want to root for a high-scoring game, root for a lot of points, cash an over. It's much more fun to sweat an over than an under. However, the oddsmakers know that, and they're going to basically shade these lines toward the over, knowing that the public will automatically want to bet them. Now we're seeing through 3 weeks here the fact that overs are crushing. Public is getting fat and happy on a lot of these overs. What are the oddsmakers going to do? They're jacking these lines up even more, knowing that the public will bet them blindly anyway. So I'm waiting for this regression, Pritch. I think it's going to come fast and hard when these unders start to come through. And I think I would be prepared for that regression. The one thing I would look at, one game I'm looking at so far this week is the Chargers and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So you have young Herbert against Tom Brady here. This is one of the only games on the board where I'm seeing a sharp move to the under. And that this is more meaningful to me than usual just because overs are cashing at such a high rate. So if sharps are digging the under, that means they thought the total was maybe a little too high to begin with.
VSiN's Josh Applebaum appearing on Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard discussing that he expects regression to the under at some point. So far, heading into the weekend slate in week four of the NFL, overs are 30-19. VSiN's Gil Alexander this week on A Numbers Game, which airs from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern on VSiN, has been discussing not only betting sides and totals, but...
I told everyone, I told you all, 124-1, Justin Rose, it's the play you have to make, Jeff. Don't check the tapes, just believe me, I never tell a lie. Wow, first round of the Masters in the books, we'll get a lot to that. Jeff Parles hanging out tonight. What's
Tim,
up, brother?
Tim, it's awesome to be on the desk with you. Filling in for you a few weeks ago was odd, seeing your face up there and you not being here. But it's much better with you in person.
Yeah,
next to me
we'll
tonight,
have some fun here tonight, and got three NBA games going to tip off momentarily, and a couple that I think have some real intrigue. Detroit and Sacramento may not be the most sexy of the bunch. The other two, which we'll lead off the show with, Phoenix visiting the Clippers, and Jeff, last night we saw Phoenix and Utah. Play a tremendous game going back and forth. And we're going to get into Phoenix here in the first segment about whether or not they're not getting enough respect. But just looking at this game, we've got some of the props up there. Devin Booker, over under 26.5, coming off his 30-plus point performance. You got Chris Paul, that looks tasty at 16.5, considering how he played last night. And Paul George at 22.5, Kawhi Leonard 25.5. And just looking at the spread for this game, open 4.5 in favor of the Clippers. Now has been bet up to 6 pretty much everywhere, but here at the Circa, it's a juiced 5.5 in favor of the Clippers.
This just feels like a bad spot for Phoenix tonight. Coming off of that emotional win last night in overtime. I mean, they took Donovan Mitchell's best punch, and they still won that game last night at home against Utah. If you told me 3 months ago that Utah and Phoenix would be record 1-2 in the league and playing an epic Wednesday night game, I would have laughed at you 3 months ago, but here we are. And for tonight, I've been looking at that 6 the whole night, wanting to take Phoenix, but I can't do it because just the spot is just so bad for them coming off of that game. And a dramatic win in overtime against Utah.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a trap.
Yes,
it feels too good to be true. A little stinky, as I would like to say. a little stinky. The public, you would imagine the public would be heavily on Phoenix. That's just my hunch right now.
I would agree.
And a total of 221, I would say average of 221, 220.5 here at Circa, 221 at Westgate, 221.5 at the South Point. So, yeah, and this Clippers team, once again, we're going to get into it a little bit later on. Does Devin Booker keep it rolling? It was interesting today, and this is what happens. I wouldn't say so much here on our network, but others' networks. Hey, is Chris Paul a MVP candidate? I love Chris Paul. I think he's underrated. What he did last year in Oklahoma City, Jeff, was unbelievable.
Incredible.
And what he's doing now, how he's elevated this, helped elevate, I won't say solely, but, the Phoenix Suns were the the talk of the bubble, went undefeated, didn't get into the play-in game, and he comes in and really has helped elevate that team, obviously, to where they are now. But let's pump the brakes on the MVP discussion a little bit.
Well, as someone who's sitting here with a 500-1 ticket on Chris Paul
to win
the MVP,
then you could, I
am okay with pushing this forward. Look, it's just...
Did you call Stephen A. and then make him?
Well,
did you call the producers of Get Up or whatever? You know, to get this going.
Use my little connections there in Bristol and move the dial there. But no, look, the big thing is, and I forget who tweeted this last night, but it's pretty funny though. Where Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets are usually just playing any normal opponent, not on national television. Jokic goes for his near usual triple double on the same night. We're Chris Paul and Devin Booker. We're both incredible last night in that win against Utah, but there's just too many people for Chris Paul to hop. And again, like I said, holding a 500-1 ticket, love it if Chris Paul would have a real chance here. But look, just looking at the odds board though, Tim, with all the injuries that have beset a bunch of guys near the top, Chris Paul probably should be in the area code where Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic are right now, as opposed to being triple digits in most spots.
Yeah, and you can get Chris Paul right now, just pulling up DraftKings as we speak, 150-1.
Yeah, that's a huge number for, again, Phoenix could get the one seed in the Western Conference and have the NBA's best record, and then you get all sorts of narrative play in Chris Paul's favor.
Well, I can tell you what, right now, for your 500-1 ticket, let's hope for Chris Paul, another back-to-back big nights on a big stage. Yeah. That would be perfect for Jeff's 500-1 ticket. We got another big game, Jazz and Blazers, to get to. Also, a little cover watch going on down in Miami. A lot to get to. Let's get it rolling. We get the night rolling. It is the Nightcap, live from the Circa Sportsbook. Tim Murray and Jeff Parles, who was filling in a couple weeks ago for me while I was sitting down in Miami, so I appreciate you helping out. Well, Fort Lauderdale, to be exact. I was hanging out with the parents. I wasn't living it up on South Beach. I was down in Del Boca Vista, so to speak. A little
Fort Lauderdale's still really darn good.
It was terrific.
Still great.
Sat there and watched a lot of college basketball. So, but it's great to have you on set for the next couple of nights. Big show ahead. Wes Reynolds, I think everyone knows him. We'll recap the first round of the Masters. Jeff and I'm sure we'll recap some of our plays, some of our best bets, some of our ones that don't look so good right now. And it was a eventful first day of the Masters. We'll get to it in just a moment. But before we really get the ball rolling, we talked about Suns and Clippers. Let's get to the other premier matchup of the evening, and that is Jazz and Blazers. And we talked about the Suns, you know, going into overtime against Utah last night, taking Donovan Mitchell, as you said, best punch, which is absolutely a terrific way to put it, because he, you know, hits that three, forces overtime, and the Phoenix Suns are able to pull away, though, in OT, 117-113, still pour one out to the folks who had the under in that game, because that was a dead under game. And then you've got Portland at Utah tonight. So Utah's coming off this loss. I didn't pull the trigger. I kind of want to. Maybe I will on the app here, but I like Portland a little bit in this spot, getting 5.5. Open 7, certainly would have loved the 7. Here at Circa, it's Utah at a juiced 5, minus 5, 115, and then 5.5 at South Point and the Westgate and other spots as well. Before we take a look at the prop board, just your thoughts on this game. You know, Portland getting points is always intriguing, knowing how strong offensively they are. And you mentioned Phoenix, right? Phoenix is getting points tonight against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Utah's laying points against Portland, coming off of that overtime loss. Could they be upset? Could they be fired up? Sure. Or they could also be a little bit tired going up against a team that is never a ton of fun to play against.
No, not at all. And no Jordan Clarkson tonight, the prohibitive favorite sixth man of the year. Won't be there for Utah. I would only bet Portland here. Of course, we would have loved to have gotten the best of the number overnight on getting a whole 7. I think that's still pretty good at 5.5 with Portland. The only concern that I have is that the Blazers' defense is still bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if even with playing that overtime game last night for Utah, they still are a very efficient three-point shooting team. And if you get yourself good looks against a Portland defense that has all sorts of problems all over the court, this could be a game where Utah shoots Portland out of it quickly, and then you're just hoping for a backdoor at the end.
Yeah, and I think it was last Friday when Portland was hosting.
Betting Across America is live from the South Point here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Adam Candy here at the VSiN studios, joined by James Salinas from Denver, Colorado, as we track not only the Masters, where the leaders will tee off just about now, actually. We have Major League Baseball going on as well, and some interesting developments to track if you're thinking about getting some action in live. Of course, there's a full slate in the NBA and the NHL that we'll get to in just a little bit. But let's start quickly with the baseball updates before we get to the Masters, James, as I actually was able to get a little wager in here. The Rays and the Yankees, your team total is on the right direction here as the Rays are leading 3-0 in the top of the third inning. But Chris Archer, the starting pitcher for the Rays, has left the game with an injury. And so the Rays are already into the bullpen. And by the way, they are thin in the first place. And so the Yankees have two on here with two out in the top of the third. I got a bet in on the Yankees team total over 3.5, paid -127 to do it. James, I believe you have 4.5 over for the Rays. So we will see what's going on there with Giancarlo Stanton at the plate. The Marlins continue to lead the New York Mets 1-0 in the top of the fifth inning. James, I know you love fun stats. Here's one for you. This was the first time on that Jazz Chisholm home run against Jacob DeGrom in the career of the two-time Cy Young Award winner that he has allowed a home run on an 0-2 pitch. And it was a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that Jazz Chisholm turned around.
Yeah, and it was up out of the strike zone, right? But not high enough, and he did chase it, but he able to get that barrel around and turned on it and pulled on it. And, yeah, 100 miles an hour, the harder it comes in, the harder it goes out. That was an upper deck shot because he squared that up and turned on that, obviously, in a hurry. But now looking at that game, the Marlins have run themselves out of an inning. So have the Mets. The Marlins had a leadoff double in the last inning, got picked off on a bunt attempt and picked off at second of all. Base running is still another thing that's kind of a lost art in this game nowadays. But now looking at that live total, Adam, it's down. We had talked about it. Was it going to stick around? It was still sitting at 6.5. Now that live total is all the way down to 4.5 as we sit here, what, in the fifth inning now with the Mets trailing, not giving any run support to DeGrom sitting there trailing 1-0.
And the part that I don't think I banked on when I was talking about the attractiveness of over 6.5 was that Taylor Rogers would be this good. Taylor Rogers has allowed one hit through four and struck out seven. Talented young left-hander for the Marlins. Had a lot of hype coming into the year, but, you know, the Marlins just haven't been able to hit the ball because they've had some good pitching thus far early on. 1-0 Marlins is the advantage. You mentioned the total down to 4.5. Your money line at the moment pretty evenly split. -115 on the Mets, -108 on the Marlins. Giancarlo Stanton strikes out to end the top of the third inning. Rays lead 3-0 going into the bottom of the third. Total there, 9.5. Rays heavy favorites at -560. You'll get just about $4 coming back on the New York Yankees. And the Mariners and the Twins just underway. Nothing really to report from that one quite yet. We do have action at the Masters. As I mentioned, the leaders are just getting started. Jordan Spieth is on the course. The leader right now in live tournament favorite betting is Jordan Spieth. 5-under for Spieth as he pars the first, waiting for Zalatoris and Rose to get off the tee here in just about 5 minutes. But we were just looking at the odds for the tournament. Jordan Spieth is down to +350 at one book, at the very least, for winning the tournament. And part of that goes back to the liability that books are holding on Jordan Spieth pre-tournament. They were taking a lot of money on him in the last few weeks, especially after his performance last week coming in. Justin Thomas, 5-1. The leader, Justin Rose, at 6-1 after getting as low as 3-1 when he held a 3-shot lead after the first round. The young gun, Will Zalatoris, at 9-1. Xander Schauffele at 11. Brian Harman, 12. Tony Finau, 16. Mark Leishman, 18. Matsuyama at 20. Colin Morikawa at 28. And the numbers get longer from there. If you want to bet on who will be the leader after round three, that is also something you can get some action in on. And Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth are both +275 to be the third round leader here on moving day at Augusta National. Will Zalatoris +550, Harman plus 650, Justin Thomas plus 750. And of course, these are numbers that you're getting with most of these guys just getting their rounds underway. You now have a big group at four under, three shots back of Rose, including Weisberger, Thomas, Champ, Schauffele, and Matsuyama. Corey Connors has bogeyed at the fifth to drop back to four shots off the lead of Justin Rose, as we mentioned, getting teed off here in just about 5 minutes. Still a lot of baseball games for us to talk about, though, James. We have action going on from Houston, where the Astros are off to quite the start on this season. The A's are trying to get things turned around. They are $1.37 dogs today to the Astros, with Frankie Montas on the mound against Jose Urquidy for the Astros. Total sitting at 9. Montas, a guy who got off to a great start a couple of years ago before taking a big PED suspension. Urquidy, another one of these good young arms on the Houston side. Total sitting here at 9. Have you bet on the A's or the Astros to this point of the season?
I have, actually. I've been riding that Houston train. Now, I lost last night with the Astros, and I don't like the Astros from a fan perspective of all the off-field stuff, the things that we know happened with the World Series runs back a few years ago, but I am a fan of cashing tickets, and we cashed a lot of them early in the season with the Astros, who really got to take advantage of the A's, that first series right in Oakland to open the season and really hammer them, swept them in that four games and really beat up on that bullpen especially. But looking at this matchup here, I mean, the A's still have been struggling to hit the baseball. They finally were able to square up the ball and hit a couple balls out of the ballpark, but that's kind of, you know, this isn't the same lineup that we've seen there in Oakland over the years. Not as many table setters anymore, especially up the middle when we're talking about a new up the box. Now it's different, and at the top of the order it's different now. So haven't liked this A's team rolling into this season. The bullpen is definitely different than what we've seen over years past. Plus, they're banged up in the back end of that bullpen too. So, I did bet the Astros for the last few games. I don't think I'll take them here. But looking at this play, mostly what I've been doing outside of playing some of those full nines with the Astros, what I've early in the season, Adam, what I've been doing with the baseball is either playing first fives or been betting some team totals like Tampa Bay, for instance, today. So trying to find some spots where I feel like it's a good pitching matchup and or advantageous to the lineup going in based on past history. Now, looking at this here, maybe it's looking at the first five. It's sitting here at 5 in this game. It's juiced to the under, $1.20 under 5. I think that's probably, if I'm going to play this, I think that's the way that I'm looking at, is playing under 5 in this first five matchup.
Yeah, first five at this point of the year is just about all I'll look at, because I don't have a sense of how these bullpens are shaking out yet. I really don't know much about who the benches are. I'm kind of waiting to see how managers are deploying their teams and going for the first fives at the moment, just to be able to get more of a sense of what's happening here. The first five innings look to be in the favor of the Tampa Bay Rays here at the moment, as last year's playoff superstar Randy Arozarena has gone deep off Domingo Germán, and we now see that James needs only a half run. I'm not sure they can score a half run, but he needs one more to get over his team total here in the third inning, and it's looking good with the Rays now putting another runner on. 4-0 lead for Tampa Bay in the bottom of the third against the New York Yankees. We go to the bottom of the fifth. Actually, is DeGrom still out there? No, we are headed to the bottom of the fifth as DeGrom has gotten out of it. 1-0 Marlins over the New York Mets. To the bottom of the first, Seattle and Minnesota, no score. Milwaukee and St. Louis just underway as well in Major League Baseball. Tigers and the Indians face off at 6:10 p.m. Eastern tonight. Tarik Skubal got off to a very nice start for the Detroit Tigers against Aaron Civale. Minus 165 on the Indians, plus 152 on the Tigers, 9 juice to the over. I took just a chance on the Tigers last night, but I want to highlight something here, because if you have the option to play listed pitchers, you might want to think about it, because I took it on the idea of Julio Teheran maybe being able to keep the Tigers in the game. I played both sides listed. Guess what? Teheran gets scratched at the last second. Tigers end up losing 4-1. and I get my money back because Tehran never went. So the number is actually all the way out, my goodness, out to 190, even from when I did my notes 2 hours ago here on the Indians.
Yeah, it's actually, I've got it sitting here at 180 pretty much across the board here in Colorado. And looking at this, yeah, it's usually if I'm looking at first five and I'm playing, I tend to play a lot of the totals under in first five. This one's sitting at 4.5. I don't really like looking at 4.5. If it's somewhere sitting in five or obviously more than that, but 4.5, it's juiced to 115. I mean, the Tigers have struggled to hit the baseball so far this season. And, you know, Skubal doesn't have a whole lot. There's not enough for me to go off. He's only got 37 innings in big league play. So I need more of a body of work where I feel more confident to feel like I have a better handle on what it's going to look like from the pitching side for the Tigers here. So I'd lean towards the under for this game and lean towards the under 4.5 for this for the first five, but I don't think I'm going to play this.
We'll take another look at the Masters scoreboard in just a moment. Right now, we are just getting started with Justin Rose and Will Zalatoris. Corey Connors, remember how we said he had dropped a shot? How about an eagle at six for Corey Connors? He's now just two shots back. One of those guys that I was talking about may not have the putter all the time, but if those greens slow down, watch out for Corey Connors here down the stretch. It's Betting Across America on VSiN. This week's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod centers on the last major prep for the Kentucky Derby. That's this weekend's Arkansas Derby. Guests include Concert Tours trainer Bob Baffert, Las Vegas Review-Journal turf writer Mike Brunker, plus handicapping from Johnny Avello of DraftKings Sportsbook. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available now at VSiN.com/podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. It is sponsored by First Bet. Betting Across America rolls on from here in Las Vegas. Adam Candy from Denver, James Salinas, and from Augusta, some movement on the leaderboard. We mentioned that eagle for Corey Connors. Xander Schauffele birdies number four to go to 2 under for the day, 5 under overall. Justin Thomas with a birdie at 2. The pack at 5 under, 2 shots back of Justin Rose, who's just getting going, continues to grow. The pressure stays on the leader here as we get fully into moving day at Augusta National. Keep an eye on what's happening at the Masters throughout. Talk to our friend Brady Cannon here in just a few moments about what he expects today and tomorrow from Augusta National. Let's get back to the baseball diamond for a moment, James, and update the games that are going on here at the moment. Still 1-0 between Miami and the Mets. Taylor Rogers mowing down the Mets. Jacob DeGrom continuing to get the usual run support in the form of a big round number. It's a 0 on the board for the Mets, who had first and third with nobody out in the bottom of the first inning, and they were not able to get anything done in that spot. Get a look at the updated odds on that game. The Marlins are minus 110 at the moment, actually up to minus 125 now as that changes. So you can get the Mets at basically even money if you believe that they will do something here later on. Rays 4-0 over the Yankees. Yankees are a little more than $5 coming back. And hey, the Milwaukee Brewers, they have the 172 average, get a first inning run off Carlos Martinez. It is 1-0 Milwaukee, and they are minus 195 coming back on the Cardinals at plus 155 in a game that went off basically even on both sides. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, I'm trying to decide if I'm going back to the well on the Baltimore Orioles tonight, James, as they've got Garrett Richards and the Red Sox coming in. And I played first five against Garrett Richards last time, and by the time it was 10-0 Baltimore in the third, I felt pretty good about where I was going here. But Richards and the Red Sox come in as minus 127 favorites against Bruce Zimmerman, plus 117, 9.5 at Camden Yards. That is juiced to the over. What do you think? Fade Garrett Richards? Do I go for it again?
I would fade Garrett Richards. I mean, yeah, he couldn't get out of the third inning and ended up giving up those six earned runs. And he had traffic on the base pass in every inning. He couldn't locate. There's nothing left on, you know, the guy's had a lot of injuries and making your debut and having to step into Fenway Park. There's pressure with that as well with the new team and especially in that ballpark. But I think here with the Orioles, I mean, the Red Sox here, if anything, I might be looking at the total again. So the total is sitting at 9.5. First five is sitting at five, juice to $1.25, but at 9.5 here, we did see the Red Sox. They did get swept in that series at home against the Orioles to start the season, but they've bounced back very nicely. They've won their last four games and they've scored 33 runs in those last four games. So maybe it was better. Now they've got sometimes it takes the bats a little while to wake up. The bats have clearly woken up for the Red Sox the last four games, hitting the baseball the way that they have here. I think with Zimmerman on the other side, just not enough intel, right? Just not a lot of pitches at the big league level right now for me to get a really good handle on what I feel like he's going to be able. I need to see more from him over the course of at least a handful of more starts or maybe a half of a season before I get a better feel where I think Zimmerman's going to go. But I think in this case here, going against Richards, absolutely, and maybe that's another first five play too. Right now it's for the Orioles plus 110 for the first five. I might be looking at that as far as the first five goes rather than playing the full game.
Yeah, Boston now up to eighth in the Major League standings in runs with 38 runs on the year. I think you might be on to something here. Looking at the over in that ball game because the Camden Yards field tends to provide many, many runs, especially with this kind of pitching on the mound for both teams. Quickly before we head out as well, another game that I think is interesting, Padres and the Rangers. Chris Paddock is getting a lot of respect here for San Diego for a guy who hasn't done a whole lot in the last year and a half. Minus 150, it's actually come down a little bit. Jordan Lyles on the other side, a former big prospect, plus 140 for the Rangers. Of course, Padres getting their first ever no-hitter last night from San Diego kid Joe Musgrove. Total in this one sitting 9, under minus 105. I don't want to make a living betting on the Rangers, but might be a potential spot here at plus money. Over might also be an interesting look. When we come back, more Major League Baseball and Masters on Betting Across America. Baseball players might not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSIN 100. And if you place a $1 money line wager on the Nationals or the Dodgers, you get $100 if either team hits a home run. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only, and excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLING in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. This promotional offer is not available right here in Nevada. We're at the South Point in Las Vegas. I'm Adam Candy. James Salinas joins from Denver as we continue on Betting Across America. Major League Baseball is in full swing. The leaders have teed off at the Masters. And, of course, we have NBA and NHL happening as well. James will get a quick look at the Masters leaderboard here as Justin Rose has added a shot, but so has Jordan Spieth. It is Rose out to 8, Spieth to 6, Zalatoris still at 6, trailed by a big pack at 5 under. Now Justin Thomas has gone to 6 under as well. So we've seen some scoring in the early going here as Justin Rose will have quite a highlight-laden group chasing him down with guys like Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele. Man, oh man, it will be a great day from Augusta National. Just need that weather to hold up for us. Let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in Major League Baseball. James, we are still pushing our way through a giant, giant card here in baseball. Angels and the Blue Jays. This is a game that has significant weather concerns. There's a massive storm rolling its way through Florida right now. But if they go, it's Jose Quintana against the rejuvenated Steven Matz for the Blue Jays. Looking at Blue Jays minus 115, Angels plus 105 with a big total 10.5. That ballpark down in Dunedin has been allowing some runs as the Jays obviously not able to play in Canada right now.
Yeah, and it has, and it, you know, I think that also the wind plays a factor there too. Joe Maddon was the former manager for the Rays and is used to that park as far as spring training games go. So he has commented on the fact that he didn't like playing in that park because it seemed like it wasn't good for his hitters because the wind was always carrying that ball out of the ballpark. And I know they did move the fences back to some degree, but still, yeah, the ball is finding a way out of that park there, and with a lineup with both these teams, especially with the Angels squaring that ball up the way that they have. For most of the season, really good lineup there. But with the Blue Jays, here's where I was looking at. But I was looking, trying to find, and we don't have it, I think probably because of the weather. And I think it'll be a stay away for me. But I was looking for guys. I don't normally back guys like Quintana. Adam, just based on, they drive me crazy sometimes where it's just they're constantly living on the black. They don't challenge hitters, and it's just a lot of away, and picking and choosing when they actually want to get it over the strike zone. But a team like the Blue Jays, young hitting team, not hitting the baseball very well right now, a lot of strikeouts, not a lot of walks, and maybe a team that's starting to press up at the plate because they are such young hitters and feeling like there's some, you know, anytime there's a lot of hype about you, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that too, and was feeling like this is a good spot for a pitcher that I don't normally back in Quintana, but somebody that is not going to give in. Even if he falls behind in the count, he is going to force you to either work your way on with the walk, which is not what the Blue Jays do. They're up there to swing the bats, and they may chase some balls out of the zone. So I was looking more so at a team total under for the Jays and maybe a strikeout prop for Quintana, but I don't see a prop for him right now, probably because of the weather, and I probably wouldn't play it. Let's say the game does get started and then we have a long weather delay and they decide to bring it back up. You know he's not going to get back on the mound, so probably just a no play for me based on the weather.
Yeah, there is a lot of variance involved in that. Things to consider as well. You talk about that Blue Jays team not being able to hit. No Teoscar Hernandez for the Blue Jays. He is on the COVID list, likely to be out for a week. That's the guy who was their cleanup hitter on opening day and was a very powerful guy last year. So they're down one of their big hitters. And no matter how well Jared Walsh hits for the Angels, they seem to find a way to continue. I'm guessing we're on like year four of the Albert Pujols farewell tour at this point. But Jared Walsh, after homering yesterday, is out of the lineup today for the Angels. Of course, with the left-hander on the mound. I'm facetious, but Steven Matz going for the Blue Jays is probably why that is the case. Great pitching matchup, which is actually a redo of a pitching matchup we saw last weekend with Zach Eflin and Ian Anderson going against each other. Phillies and the Braves in a 7:20 Eastern start. Boy, oh boy, this is a slugfest in terms of pitching. 136 on the Braves, plus 126 coming back on the Phillies with a total of 8. This is a baseball game that I'm not even sure if I want to play. I might just want to watch.
I think so, too. I'm not going to have a play on this game. I think with Eflin, he had 8 strikeouts in that game against Atlanta. They did hit some balls hard at him, and it's baseball. Sometimes they square it up, and they hit it right at somebody's glove, and other times balls with eyes find their way through the infield where you barely got barely hit one of the stitches on the ball, right? It was one of the old things. There's 108 stitches on the ball. Kid hit one of them, and sometimes they find their way through. I just think here, you know, Acuna has been smashing the ball, hammered the ball last night, squaring the baseball. Everything he hits, it's just the exit velocity. The guy's just all over the baseball. He's fun to watch. Both these teams are fun to watch. This is going to be a great division all season long to watch as far as these NL East matchups. I don't know where to go with this game. I want to see, can these pitchers duplicate what they did last week? And, you know, young pitchers, can they duplicate? You know, it's a short history, especially with Ian Anderson. Not a lot to go off with him, but I don't know where to go with this game. I think it's more so, yeah, I like baseball. I love to watch baseball. I don't need to have action on certain games. If I'm watching NBA, Adam, it's because I've got action on the game. When I'm talking about baseball, I don't need to have action to appreciate watching the game of baseball. I do love to watch it as a spectator. So here, that's probably what I'll do with this game. No bet for me, but I'll be watching the contest.
Well, you can be a spectator for Augusta National today as well, because there is going to be plenty to watch. Corey Connors has three birdies and an eagle to go with a bogey. He is to six, as is Justin Thomas and Spieth and Leishman and Harmon and Zalatoris. Moving day, living up to its name thus far from Augusta National, as Justin Rose maintains a two-shot lead over that large group at six after he birdied the first, as the leaders just get underway from Augusta on Saturday afternoon. We'll talk to Brady Cannon about what he sees coming up today in golf on Betting Across America when we return here in just a moment. You are tuned into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Masters weekend, and no one has better golf betting coverage than VSiN. Subscribers have access to our full Masters coverage on VSiN.com with current odds, analysis of key golfers, and picks from our experts for each day of the tournament. It's the first major of the year, and our golf team is already in mid-season form. So make sure you start your VSiN free trial today to keep up with all the action, including daily email updates and betting options for each round, 24/7 video coverage, full access to our coverage on VSiN.com, and picks from every one of our experts. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. This is Betting Across America from the South Point in Las Vegas. I'm Adam Candy, joined by James Salinas from Denver. And if we're going to tell you something like that we have the very best golf betting coverage, we're going to back it up, because we've got Brady Cannon sitting right with us in studio right now, host of the Long Shots podcast and one of those golf experts that we like to reference here at VSiN. Brady, welcome. One of the best weekends of the year. And moving day here at Augusta certainly has gotten off to a rousing start. I looked quickly and saw a hole 2 under for Corey Connors, not realizing that's an ace at number six.
Yeah, an ace on Saturday to get started for the young Canadian Corey Connors. I know a lot of people, I believe Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate, had an outright future on Corey Connors to win this thing at a pretty big number. I want to say he was in the neighborhood of maybe 80 to 100 to 1 neighborhood, certainly, to win this thing. Justin Rose starts his day off well, too, with a birdie. You mentioned it earlier in the program here that the pressure was mounting on Rose, but he starts off by allowing himself a little bit of extra room there, a 2-shot advantage over Connors, who's 4 under through 7 holes, including that hole in one. And Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, right where we expected them to pick up here on Saturday. They were your favorites going into the adjusted odds board today after the halfway mark, as far as 36 holes being in the books and heading into the weekend. It was Thomas and Spieth atop the adjusted odds board. Justin Thomas was at 5 to 1. Spieth was at 4 to 1. I even saw him lower at plus 350 this morning on Jordan Spieth. Justin Rose went off at 7 to 1 on the adjusted odds heading into today. And then Will Zalatoris, his playing partner, went off at 12 to 1. Zalatoris is even par on the first hole. He is still at 6 under par, 2 shots off the lead. You've got Connors, Thomas, Spieth, Brian Harmon, Mark Leishman, and Will Zalatoris all at 6 under par. Bernd Wiesberger at 5 under. Matsuyama, Schauffele, Cameron Champ, and Tony Finau at 4 under. Stuart Sink, Matt Jones, Ryan Palmer, and Siwoo Kim at 2 under. And guys, I think even the guys at 2 under right now still have a shot. I think going into Sunday, you don't really want to be more than 4 shots back. So if you can stay within 4 or 5 shots, I believe, especially 4 shots is probably a much more key number than 5. But if you're within 4 shots of the lead at the end of the day today, I think you still got a shot.
So Brady, how does, we were talking about this earlier about the weather, the impending weather that's coming today and tomorrow potentially. How does that affect your handicap, and how does that affect, because we have live betting, and I know there's certain places that have more options than other states, but how does that affect the handicap, and how does that affect these golfers going in if it does rain, and what extent that rain comes in? What do you think that's going to have a play? What kind of plays is that going to make if you have any more action going in through the rest of the tournament?
You might actually look at it for tomorrow. If the rain comes down pretty heavy, it will soften up the golf course. Now, Augusta has these completely elaborate and incredibly detailed sub-air systems, so they can control a lot of the moisture. They like to leave the fairways wet so the ball doesn't, you know, so you can't gain too much distance, and they like to leave the greens very dry. You've seen, of course, how fast and firm those greens are. So, you know, if it's not too much of a deluge of water, they can control quite a bit of that moisture, you know, more or less how they prefer to set up the golf course. So I would kind of take a look and see what it does and then think about, you know, that going forward into tomorrow if you're going to get a very soft golf course or not. Now, the wind is blowing in the neighborhood of 14 to 15 miles an hour, and that's a pretty significant breeze. That will absolutely affect a golf ball. They say less than 12 miles an hour doesn't really bother a professional golfer too much. More than 12 miles an hour or better will certainly affect their game. So 14 to 15, yeah. And what's tough, you guys have seen this golf course, of course, all week long. The trees are so high and the wind, you know, swirls in different directions. You get to that par 3, number 12 on Amen Corner there, and the wind always plays a lot of tricks on guys there. So if you have a 14, 15 mile an hour wind, and with all the swirls and the tricks it does throughout those trees, it could be pretty nasty. But right now these guys are scoring, maybe trying to beat the storm that is supposed to come down here in about a couple of hours. So the leaders should have at least 9, 10, maybe 12 holes under their belt before we get anything really crazy. And maybe it won't affect them too much, James. If it's just the last 4 or 5 holes and it's relatively tame, it probably won't make too much of a difference.
What's interesting to me, Brady, is I'm looking here at the scoring on number 2 today, and you know that, you know, you have to take advantage of your opportunities on the par 5s if they're giving
right.
up if they are giving up scores, and it looks like they are early on. Who does it favor if the conditions are such that the guys can be a little more aggressive on these scoring holes?
Well, you just want to look at guys that do well at par 5 scoring, and that was certainly one of the statistics I looked at in part of my handicap for the Masters. If you look at what the scores are for last year's Masters in November, it was like minus 27 on the par 3s, 27 under par or something on the par 3s, you know, minus 46 or something like that on the par 4s, and the par 5s, it was over 100 under par across the field for the par 5s. So that is absolutely where the scoring has to happen. And all these guys at the top of the leaderboard are good in par 5 scoring, including Justin Thomas, one of the best on tour at par 5 scoring. Mark Leishman, Matsuyama, Schauffele. You know, you want to go to that statistic where you can find that at PGAtour.com, just a basic statistic there on how these guys perform on the par 5s. And you also want to look at how they've done during the week. If they're not getting it done on the par 5s, then they're probably not in the equation to win this thing. You have to get it done on the long holes.
And one quick update, James, before you jump in. Justin Rose has added another birdie.
Wow.
He has birdied number 2. We just talked about scoring on the par 5s. He posts a 4 on the hole. He goes to 9. His lead is up back to 3 shots.
Very good, Justin Rose. And, you know, I thought he was going to come back to the pack on Friday, which he did, but he really salvaged a nice even par round. He was struggling to the tune of 3 over par early in the round on Friday. You had to feel he was going to let down. You know this, guys, with any sport, football, baseball, whatever it is, you have a, you know, otherworldly performance on one day. You're not expected to back it up the next. But a great job by Justin Rose to kind of hone that in, what looked to be, could be a disaster round on Friday, able to finish at even par. And now he's back after it again here, 2 under par through 2 holes, and extends his lead to 3 shots. So that's pretty impressive. One thing he has going against him, too, is his age. He's almost 41 years old, and Marco Mira, well, we had Tiger Woods, of course, in 2019. But the last 40-year-old or older winner at the Masters before 2019 was Marco Mira, and I think that was in 1998. So history does not favor the 40-year-old to go on and win this thing, but right now he's making a good case for himself.
Well, so Brady, going in thinking about tomorrow, the last round, the fourth day, as a handicapper, a seasoned golf handicapper like yourself, what is kind of your approach? Do you look at, because you had talked about what did they do the last day, but do you look at the whole body work over the last three rounds coming into Sunday for how you might approach this action? Or is it so many things to consider? You just talked about Justin Rose and not going to be able to duplicate what he did in round one going into round two, but then having that conviction coming out and stepping out at least for the first two holes, right? He's got his mind right, and he's ready to get out there and compete and get after it with back-to-back birdies. So what is your approach going into Sunday with these golfers?
Well, I want to look at each individual performance for today's round, and did they gain strokes putting? That's probably a big factor there. Typically, if you putt really well on one day, it tends to regress to the norm the next day. It's rare that you have, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row with lights out putting. So you want to look at that putting. Sometimes that will go back to the norm a little bit. And if a guy conversely was really lousy on the greens one day, then he should improve the next day. But I also, James, you mentioned, you know, do you look at the whole body of work? I do want to look at that too. I like to look at how consistent the player has been. Have his rounds been topsy-turvy? Is he shooting 73 one day and 63 the next? Or is he more steady, shooting 69 every day? I like to go with a guy that has been steady. And then you just look at the basic statistics in the handicap, of course, the par five scoring, how many strokes are they gaining on approach. I don't put too much weight on how they're doing off the tee at Augusta National. Certainly length matters, but accuracy is not a big factor. So I want to look at how they are doing in greens and regulation and if their putting has been hot or cold, and then look at how they did the day prior, because usually they will come back to the norm, or have they been consistent throughout the entire tournament. So that's probably what I would look at going into that fourth round if you're thinking about doing head-to-head matchups, or, of course, looking at the adjusted futures board as far as who's going to win this thing.
Updating your odds to win the tournament, Justin Rose with those two birdies moves to plus 275. Could have had him at the beginning of the day at 6. Of course, the odds pre-tournament much, much longer. Justin Thomas at 3-1. Jordan Spieth at 6-1. Xander Schauffele at 10. Zalatoris and Corey Connors both at 12 as they try to chase down the affable Brit, Justin Rose, here in this tournament. And Brady, just to back up what you're talking about, fortunate enough in 2005 to have been at Augusta when Tiger and Chris DeMarco end up going to the playoff that year, but the weather was a significant factor, and you got to see it firsthand with what it did to that course. It is a challenging enough course to play in the first place before right. That weather gets there.
Yeah, the wind is a real nemesis for these guys blowing around those Georgia pines. One other thing I forgot to mention too in your handicap, look at how these guys do for final round scoring. And that's a very nervy round, especially when you're on the leaderboard at the Masters. Look at final round scoring, how they typically perform on tour, and then also go back to prior Masters and look what they did in the final round. Did the pressure get to them or not?
James, always a pleasure. If you enjoyed what Brady was just talking about with the Masters, hey, he's going to do it for 3 more hours, so just don't change the dial. Talk to you tomorrow here on Betting Across America from VSiN.